DLP, maybe can help you out.
Okay, thank you guys so much. Case number 5-21-76. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Counsel, can you identify yourself and your witness for the record?
Yes, my name is Matthew Reed. I am an attorney for the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, and I represent the commissioner who is the issuing authority in this matter. With me is Detective Hubbard, H-U-B-B-A-R-D, of the Connecticut State Police, and he will be my witness today.
Would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, briefly. Excuse me. This is a revocation based on the suitability of the appellant. This marks the second time the appellant's permit was revoked. In 1993, the appellant's permit was revoked after his arrest on multiple charges. However, the permit was later reinstated after those charges were disposed of. The current revocation occurred on April 20th, 2021, or after an incident that occurred on that date, in which the appellant, who is a firearm safety instructor, had an accidental discharge during the holstering of a firearm. The appellant was injured and transported to the hospital where he was treated and later released. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. Succinct. After I finished my business in the bathroom, I was reholstering my pistol, and I did an embarrassing accidental negligent discharge, at which point I called in 911. My wife on the other side of the house called 911. Police arrived. Medics arrived. They put me in an ambulance, put me in and helicopters flew me over to Providence. 2 days later, I was released, walked out of that hospital, sort of. And 2 days after that, I did a 9-hour safety course with an added module, how not to accidentally shoot yourself in the hoo-hoo or anything else. Lemons, lemonade. And now I'm here.
Okay.
Absolutely,
may proceed.
I'd like to briefly call my witness, Detective Hubbard. Good afternoon, Detective Hubbard. On or about April 20th, 2021, did you have reason to encounter the appellant in this matter?
Yes, I did.
And where did that encounter occur?
I was assigned to respond to Rhode Island Hospital, Providence, Rhode Island, to speak with or interview the appellant in this case regarding a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
And at the time you met with the appellant, what was the appellant's condition?
He was awake, conscious, aware, on a hospital gurney.
So he was in the hospital?
Yes.
At the time. And can you summarize what the appellant told you?
Basically that he was using the restroom. He had put his firearm on the rear of the toilet. When he was finished going to the toilet, he went to reholster his weapon, at which time he had a negligent discharge.
And as far as you know, or from what the appellant told you, this occurred at his home?
Yes.
How did you document the appellant's statement?
Through the use of my assigned Panasonic Toughbook CF20 computer, the statement.
So you created a written statement?
Yes.
And did the appellant review, acknowledge, and sign that statement?
Yes, we're required to read it back to them to make sure that they understand and they sign that statement.
Okay, and that's under the penalties of perjury? In other words,
yes.
It's a truthful statement?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Prior to this encounter, had you ever had any encounter with the appellant?
No.
And since the April of 2021, when this incident occurred, have you had any further contact with the appellant with regard to this matter or any other matter?
No, I have not.
Okay, thank you very much. I would just make a note that the statement that was taken by the appellant, which mirrors pretty much the appellant's testimony today and the witness's testimony, is part of the packet that was received, and it has been sworn to. If the appellant needs to see that, you certainly can see that, but I don't think there's any dispute. Those are the questions I have for the witness.
Sir, do you have any questions for the witness?
Yes, please help me to understand why a negligent discharge to myself, where nobody else is around, so if my wife on the other side of the house, was justified in the revocation of my business.
Sir, I'm not the primary investigator in this case. I was just assigned to respond to the hospital and provide a statement of review.
Can any of you help me to understand?
Yeah, counsel, can you?
Right. And I would just simply say that the state acknowledges that Detective Hubbard was not responsible for the revocation of the permit. I simply wanted to get on the record the fact that, one, the incident occurred, the date and time that it occurred, and the statement that was provided by the witness at the time of the occurrence. As I proceed with my case, I'll address the suitability issue, which will be very brief, and at that point, if the appellant wants to ask me further questions, he certainly can. But my only witness is Detective Hubbard.
Okay, in other words, he's going to come back to that. So the question would be to him, who just testified, the man way over there in the blue shirts.
Okay.
He was the witness. So do you have any questions for him?
No.
Okay. All right, counsel, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you. I'll simply say that it's the commissioner's position, the issuing authority's position, that a person who is entrusted with the instruction of firearm safety courses is the person you would expect to be most safe when handling a firearm. And so this was an incident where there admittedly was a negligent discharge of the firearm and injuring himself and no one else, and therefore it's the issuing authority's opinion that that goes towards his suitability, and so at the time of the revocation it was based on those actions and his suitability to have a permit.
Do you have any questions for the attorney? You can go back to the question you just asked.
I'll just represent that question. Accidents happen. Yes, it was negligent. Yeah, it was stupid. But stuff happens and you learn from it. So, in considering that it's a constitutional thing, what justifies the revocation of a constitutional right? I just don't understand. I'm not challenging. I just don't understand.
Right. My response would simply be that the Connecticut General Statute allows for the issuing authority to make a determination of the applicant's suitability when it comes to initial issue of a permit and any conduct after the issue of the permit that brings into question the suitability of the permit holder. The statute authorizes the issuing authority to revoke that permit, and that's what happened in this case based on notification of the issuing authority by the persons involved in this incident that took the report. The decision was made to revoke the permit, and the law also provides your right to appeal that, and that's why we're here today. So it'll ultimately be the board's decision as to whether this was a significant enough event to render you unsuitable to have a pistol permit.
Okay, I understand. Open to your questions.
So no other questions?
No.
Does the board have any questions for either witness?
What's the state's position on ADs? Is that automatically insured?
Position on what?
Accidental discharge.
It's not uncommon for this type of case to be presented to the state, the Board of State Licensing Firearms Unit. And for the commissioner to have to review this type of case. Ordinarily, a single accidental discharge, obviously all the conditions will be reviewed. There'll be a review as to whether there was intoxication, whether it was any type of conflict or altercation that led, or negligent handling that led to an accidental discharge. Oftentimes, we will come to the board with a single accidental discharge and ask for a review. Other times, we will not, based on the circumstances. In this situation, the appellant appears to be in the unique position that he is, for lack of a better term, an expert in firearm safety. And for him, who we would expect to be setting the example to have an accidental discharge, was worthy of review by the board and was worthy of revocation at the time.
Okay. At the time, I don't know. Usually there's a recklessness involved. There's something else.
Correct.
So
right.
It's always going to be negligence.
Now, at this point, now that we are 2 years out from the date of the incident, a little more than 2 years out from the incident. We have testimony on the record that the state police, who tend to work in that area, have had no further contact. Certainly, we're not aware of any incidents that have occurred in the intervening period that would further bolster an unsuitability claim. So it's our position that if now that this time has elapsed, it may be appropriate to reinstate the permit and allow the appellant to move on with his permit. And I guess I'm not sure, probably not appropriate to ask the question. I'm not sure if we have possession of the firearm at this point or not.
Negative, it was given to my son who has a permit.
Okay, and it was transferred to another party. So we do not have, we revoked the permit, but the pistol itself remains in the possession of the appellant's family.
All right, thank you.
Colonel?
I don't mean to pick on an attorney, just one of you. Again, we see, we see different cases. Let me try to deal with this. The cases we have seen in the past regarding negligent discharges, usually there's a little bit more, to be honest with you. Maybe I misheard, but you're holding. So the appellant has an instructor certificate from NRA. Will you testify to that or mention that? Or
my understanding is that he is an instructor. As far as the credentialing, I can't.
Okay, so he's an instructor. Commissioner's holding that person to a higher standard because he's had a higher level of training. So it's not a lot. So that's the reason.
I think that's a fair characterization. Yes.
Okay. Can I ask the appellant questions? Or are we at that point?
We didn't get there yet. We'll stick to that and then we'll come.
Nope.
Other questions by the board?
No other witnesses.
All right, sir, you can tell us what you'd like us to know.
Okay, I think this is, I told you I added a module to my safety. Well, there's two things. One, when I'm laying in the hospital and the nurse comes over to me and says, sir, how are you feeling? I said, I'm feeling embarrassed. So, oh no, sir, you don't need to feel embarrassed. I said, you don't understand. Well, I'm just a safety instructor. At that point, she got the joke. The other thing is, of course, I had time to think, added the module. And the module consists of this. A picture of me in the hospital bed. And I show, my certificates are all over the wall. I've gone all over the country for shooting this. And my query to my students is, see that guy in the bed?
That's me.
See these certificates? I earned all these. If someone like me, with all this training, can do something as stupid as being, doing an accidental discharge, putting your gun in the holster, I said, so can you. And I proceed to explain to him how not to be negligent. One, you may have to draw your gun real quick in a situation because the situation demands it. But after the situation's done, you don't have to put your gun away fast. You take your sweet time. You clear your clothing away from the gun. You observe the gun going into the holster. You just don't have your finger away from the trigger. You have your whole hand covering the trigger guard so that there's no issues. And you insert it. Once it's inserted into the holster, everything's cool. So, yes, I take the lemons. I turn them into lemonade because hey, if I'm going through all this stuff, I may as well get something out of it so I can give it to my students. That's all I need to say. Rest is up to you.
Have you continued to work as an instructor during this period of time?
Yes.
Counsel?
With that added module.
You'll get to ask, don't worry. We'll get there. So, questions?
I have no questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. I spent 28 years defending cases in which people were claiming that they had an accidental discharge and it wasn't their fault. Now, you've admitted this is your fault, which is a step in the right direction. You've learned from this. Obviously, what you just said is the proper procedure for doing what you didn't do that time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you had a loaded gun. You were reholstering it. This particular, this SIG 365?
Yes, sir.
What safety devices are on that gun?
There are no safety devices.
devices on it.
So you damn well better keep your finger off the trigger when you're, because if you pull the trigger, off it goes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, you know, we as a board, one of the things we do to determine suitability is somebody who has a pistol permit or is, has it or is going to be revoked or is a candidate for a pistol permit, we have to see whether they're suitable by nature of their experience, their conduct, their judgment, etc. All these reasons, do they pose a threat to the safety of the public? Accidental discharges, this is something that's a subject that really is a raw nerve with me. The bullet can go anywhere when there's an accidental discharge. It happened to hit you. But the fact that you had an accidental discharge, what you're basically saying, and I don't mean to make fun of this, basically you're saying the first one's a freebie. Well, you know, a gunshot injury, as you well know better than I do, you know, is a serious thing. And you're asking this board to basically say, well, I had an accident, it was stupid, it was my own fault, boys will be boys, let me get my permit back. You know, I have a hard time with that. I really do, because the whole thing about the responsibility of owning a firearm and handling a firearm, you have a constant responsibility to not have accidental discharges, to unload it when you're not using it, to protect the public. I mean, did the bullet exit you or did it stay in you?
Oh, it went through and through.
Went through. And could have ricocheted, could have hit somebody else, could have hit your wife?
Well, she was on the other side of the house, but I understand.
You understand what I'm saying. See, I'm probably tougher on this than most of the people are the board on, because I heard this over and over and over again. The gun just went off. You know, I was stupid, but hey, come on. You know, well,
no,
I have a hard time
with
that. Yeah, I thought you would, because you're an instructor and you come from the same frame of mind as I do.
Yes, and I.
So that's the. I mean, I like you. I know you've got a. You know, you're a good guy. You're an instructor. But, you know, to basically say, well, I shot myself, then it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I have a hard time with that.
You have to understand something of my history. I had polio as a 6-month infant, many operations. My life, I've had a lot of crap in my life. My way of dealing with all that stress is my sick sense of humor. Okay? So I don't care what it is. I'll find the humor in something. I don't disregard the seriousness of the incident, any incident.
Right.
But I handle it with humor, because that's just the way I deal with life. And when I teach my students, I tell them, look, dude, you're getting a gun that can reject a bullet and kill someone 100 yards away. Once the bullet leaves the gun, you have no more control over that. And there's a lawyer behind every bullet. So I also do the weighing thing. So, well, tactical versus safety. Tactical, you should not have a safety. Safety, you should have a safety. Because, okay, we'll say a police officer, he's in a situation. If he has a safety on his gun, then that's one more thing he has to engage before he can actually deploy. But that's tactical. But safety, you want the safety. So I've changed my position a bit. It's like, okay, maybe you should just have the safety and train with the safety. And if you were without the safety engaged, you've got to train with the safety engaged, because stuff happens. And also, if I'm dealing with somebody that's, okay, what are you going to use the gun for? Are you going to be on the street where you can have a lot of occurrences? Well, then you may need a semi-automatic. But if you're just carrying a gun for your personal protection, then you're probably better off with a revolver, because a revolver is inherently more safe than a semi-automatic, because you have to pull that trigger and the cylinder has to rotate, et cetera, et cetera. It depends on the individual. That's not my call to make, but I do present the weight scale. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any other questions? I don't care what they are.
Well, my only point being, though, regardless of the type of gun, you know, we have to see that a person who gets a permit or keeps a permit in a safe in the state of Connecticut, you know, has the judgment, qualifications, et cetera, to handle it safely at all times.
Yes.
And you're asking us to basically ignore an unsafe act and say, give me my permit.
Well, I have a question to that. State police have a training academy. how many negligent discharges have been done by the trainees?
And how many police officers are actually injured by an accidental discharge?
Yeah.
Because the muzzle's being kept in a safe direction, which you didn't do.
In theory, yes. Because as soon as I got my thing revoked, I had to, no, as soon as the incident happened, I had to call another state where I have a permit. And I said, hey, you know, this happens. Oh, we understand that one of our trainees just shot himself, blah, 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 blah. This happens. I'm just curious, because I don't have access to that data. How many accidental discharges happen during training? Not that it excuses me. I am responsible.
Right. We take each individual case as they come, sir.
Yes. But you understand what I'm
saying. I understand what you're saying. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. No,
absolutely.
No personal effect.
Yeah. No, no, no. Okay. I understand.
Thank you.
I just want to pop. Sir, if you recall, and it seems like you're, based on your statements, you're not aware why the firearm discharged. Was it a piece of, you alluded to, did you have a complete piece of clothing stuck in it, or was your finger on the trigger?
No, my finger was definitely not on the trigger. And I think it was a piece of clothing.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Okay.
So you don't know how it happened?
No. I think it was my shirt got caught in the trigger. You know, I have to say this because this is very embarrassing. I had just reduced the trigger pull from, I think, 7 pounds or something like that to 3 pounds. So I think that had a big thing to do with it. And since then, it's like, okay, whatever the manufacturer sets the gun to, that's what you keep. Because the premise was, okay, if you want a more accurate shot, you're going to reduce the trigger pull. And that inherently increases the danger of an AD, as you call it. But in an actual adrenalized situation where you need to use your gun, I don't care, as long as you practice with it, I don't care how big the trigger pull is, you're not going to feel it. You're just going to aim and you're going to respond. So reducing the trigger pull, this is what I've come to learn, doesn't help you with your self-defense situation. It helps if you're doing sport, target things, because you need that everything to help you win. But as far as self-defense situation, you don't need to reduce your trigger pull, and having a decent trigger pull might prevent you from shooting off your hoo-hoo. So, you know, there were a lot of things I learned from this experience. And ultimately, it's all up to you guys.
Question?
Did you put a new trigger in? Did you replace the trigger?
Well, I think somebody played with my gun before I got it back, because it wasn't working when I got it back. So I sent it back to SIG and they...
No, I did not. That wasn't a question. When did you... You said you reduced the trigger pull.
Yes,
did you
sir.
Drop the new trigger in, or did you reduce it yourself?
Oh, I purchased a trigger.
That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah. I purchased it aftermarket.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
And put it in yourself?
Yes, sir.
More questions? Seeing none, any other witnesses?
No, ma'am.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
No, I yield to your judgment.
Counsel? Briefly, if I may. Had this been a discharge into the ground and there were no injuries, it's likely we would not be here today. However, in this instance, we had an injury. It was to the person who fired the weapon, but had it been to anybody else, it is highly likely the appellant would have been arrested and charged with unlawful discharge of a firearm, assault, maybe manslaughter. He would have gone to court. He would have been, his permit would have been revoked, and he would have had to answer for charges. And we are fortunate that in this situation, I guess fortunate might not be the best word, because he still shot himself, but fortunate in the term that it was not a child or some other person or innocent bystander. And therefore, that supports the state's position that his actions were not representative of the suitability expected of the permit holder. Thank you.
Thank you for explaining that more succinctly to me. So now I understand better. Thank you.
Comments by the board? Oh, brief factual. Sorry.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection for suitability. The basis of the revocation was the appellant had a negligent discharge of his 6-hour handgun as he was holstering it, which was his waistband, in April 2021, sustaining an injury, basis of the revocation.
Comments by the board?
I think it's, we've had, well, you guys have a lot more new cases like this where there's a negligent discharge, be someone gets injured or not injured, and then the next thing that gets interpreted or understood is modification to a firearm. So, interesting.
We've had, you know, quite a few of these. We said before, we've had quite a few of the cases when there were some type of extenuating circumstances in the past, which usually upheld for the issuing authority in which there's extenuating circumstances in which it wasn't just a, I personally don't like accidental discharges, a negligent discharge, or some negligence fall caused a firearm to go off. It wasn't an accident, but firearm, there was a negligent part of the user for the firearm to go off. That's why I sort of like the negligence of it. It seems like the appellant has realized very quickly, within probably about a half a second, that it's a mistake, suffered some, just passed on some egregious injuries, reading the medical report. But, and in the past, we often may not have seen this case. Oftentimes, there, even with an injury, death is just allowed an individual to take a safety class and sort of person to be on his own. Now, sort of leaning seriously in that direction, I'm just pausing a little bit on the appellant's testimony regarding new trigger. And if, and even to his own testimony, whether that was, that contributed to this negligent discharge.
Well, I'm glad that I'm not firearm safety instructor or expert. I'm glad I'm surrounded by them. I am having a hard time different. These are the two that stick out. We had, I believe it was a man, also in the restroom, similar circumstances. I don't know if he was reholstering or what he was doing, but the negligent discharge fired through the outside wall towards the parking lot.
Kimber 380, single action.
Yep, went into the condo common area or something.
Yep. Then the scarier one was coming home from target shooting, putting the gun away, and shooting through the wall through his child's jaw. I'm just trying to understand from a firearm safety perspective what the difference could be with this case versus those cases, if anybody.
And recently we had the one, the negligent discharge, in which this state offered the person to take the safety class and refused to do so.
Class 18 modified.
Again, that was a modification. He refused to do so, and we failed in favor of the state in that case. I think the only difference is, like, the one in the bathroom, he wasn't even supposed to have a firearm yet. He had his temp permit for a day. So there's also a transfer with that case. Obviously, the date, the dollar.
The analogy is not perfect, so forgive me, but it's just because someone injures only themselves, it'd be if someone's in a car, a single passenger in a car, and drives recklessly and gets badly injured in a car accident, they can lose their license, they could be charged with something, you know, even though it's just, quote, just them.
Right.
And I realize I have a blind spot when it comes to the negligent firearms handling, but I don't see, other than the fact that the appellant has already received severe consequences from his act, I don't see the difference between an accidental discharge that hurts somebody else or an accidental discharge that just hurts that, the handler.
That's what I'm struggling with.
And the issue potentially from the is very recent, 2 years. However, on the other side of that, he did get training and he was very experienced. And that's incorporated into his own training program, so that's the lesson learned about him and in the future.
Any other comments? Seeing none, Dr. Conrad.
Appellate.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Appellate.
Colonel Overturf.
Appellate.
Chief Rosenzweig. Chair votes issuing authority. Four two. Four two in favor of the appellant. Thank you, gentlemen.